Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Mem Beis. And we begin Mem Beis on an Aleph with another statement from Rav Yitzchak. We had a number of statements yesterday regarding the Lashon Shel Zahoris, which we said Rav Yitzchak had a statement with two, then we brought down a statement with three. So we continue with another statement from Rav Yitzchak today. We're about 10 lines down from the top, Mem Beis on an Aleph. Amar Rav Yitzchak tells us, Shtei shechitos shemati. He heard two halachos regarding shechita. One achas shel paro v'achas shel paro. One regarding the paraduma, similar to what we had yesterday, and one with the par of the kohen gadol. So yesterday we had one with the paraduma and one with the sar hamishtaleach. Today it's one with the paraduma and one with the par of the kohen gadol. And he says achas kisher bizor v'achas mesul bizor. I heard that the shechita of one of them is permissible to be done by a non kohen, whereas the shechita of the other one, if it's done by a non kohen, ruins it. However, v'lo yodana hey minayu. I don't know which din applies to which one. So Gemara says itmar. Let's try to figure this out. Shechitas paro uparo. We have a machlokes between Rabu Shmuel in regarding the shechita of the par of the kohen gadol and the para adumas shechita. Rabu Shmuel, we don't know which one said which. Chadamar, para psula, para ksheira. One said that the paraduma, if it's shechted by Zor, is psula, whereas the Kohen Gadol's par, if it's shechted by a non-Kohen Gadol, it's perfectly good. And the other one said, again, don't know whether it was Rabu Shmuel, but Chadamar, para psula, if the Kohen Gadol has his par shechted by a non-Kohen, so then it's posul, whereas the paraduma, if it's shechted by a non-Kohen, is perfectly good. And now we'll try to prove which Amora said which. Tistayim will bring the following proof that it was in fact Rav who the Amar Paro Psula. That Rav is the one that says that the Paradum is done by Azor and non Kohen, it is possible. But if the Par of the Kohen Gadol is shechted by Azor, it is in fact still kosher. Where do we see this from? Rav, the Amar Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira said, now the Vilna Gaon adds over here that this is Amar Rav Zeira. Amar Rav, so he proves it definitively that this was Rav's opinion. The Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav, Shechitas Para Bizar Psula. He says that the Shechita of the Para Aduma, if it's shechted by a non-Kohen, is Psula. That's exactly what we just said, and now we're attributing it definitively to the Rav. The Amar Rav Allah, and furthermore, Rav said about this, Elazar v'chuka sheninuba, because the reason why it has to be shechted by a Kohen, because it specifically mentions the word Elazar in regards to the paraduma, and it specifically says the word chuka in regards to the paraduma, and these are basically buzzwords telling us it has to be done that way. It has to be done by a person equivalent to Elazar, who is the skan Kohen Gadol, so it has to be done by a Kohen, and chuka means that it must be done this way. It's ma'ake if you don't do this way. So clearly, Rav is the one that holds that the paraduma has to be shechted by a Kohen. If it's shechted by Zor, it's no good. And Shmuel holds the other way. Shmuel says that the paraduma, if it's shechted by a non-Kohen, is perfectly good. It's only the power of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur must be shechted by a Kohen, whereas Rab would hold that the power of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur is shechted by Zor is not going to be ruined. Gemara says, V'Rab, Maishno Poro, D'chsiv, Elaz, V'chuka, the reason that we just said the Rav brought down is because it says by the paraduma the words Elazar and Chukah, and those are the buzzwords to tell us that it must be like that for all paradumas. So it must be a Kohen like Elazar and Chukah. It's ma'akev if you have somebody else do it. So that's what it says by the paraduma, but it says the same thing by the par of the Kohen Gadol. Paro Nami, by the Kohen Gadol's par, it also says Hoksiv Aaron v'chuka. It says Aaron and Chukah. So if your drasha is Elazar and Chukah for the paraduma, so then you should have the same drasha of Aaron and Chukah in regards to the power of the Kohen Gadol. So what exactly is going on? Why does Rav say in one case it is ma'akev if it's done by Azor, i.e. by the paraduma, but similarly it's not ma'akev if it's done by the power of the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara answers, no, there's a difference. Shechita lav avodahi. The shechita in regards to the power of the Kohen Gadol is not part of the avodah. So yes, it says Aaron and says chukah. So every avodah must be done by the Kohen Gadol, Aaron, or the equivalent of Aaron for future generations, the Kohen Gadol, and it's chukah. It's ma'akev if it's not. As opposed to the paraduma, it's not navoda. Shechita is not navoda. Gemara says, what are you talking about? Ihachi paranami. So then the same words that you're using to tell me that the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to be shechted by Aaron and Chukah, so the same exact thing. Then the paraduma should also have to be shechted by a Kohen, and it's ma'akev, it's not Tami Kohen. Isn't the same thing? If you're telling me the shechit is not navoda by the par of the Kohen Gadol, so then the shechit is not navoda by the paraduma as well. Someone says, no, there's a big difference over here. The paraduma, albeit we call it a chatas, is not a karban. It doesn't have avodas attached to it, as opposed to a karban has avoda attached to it, and shchit is not an avoda. So therefore, the Gemara says, shiny para. A paraduma, the koche perek habayisi, it's not technically a karban, and therefore, it doesn't have the concept of an avoda to it, but the entire thing has to be done by Elazar and Chukah. There is no concept of avoda. Everything regarding the paraduma, not called an avoda, but everything involved in the paraduma has to be done by Aaron and Chukah, as opposed to by the par of the Kohen Gadol. Since it's a karban, only things that are an avoda must be done Aaron and Chukah. And that's the difference. The paraduma is not a karban, whereas the Kohen Gadol's par on Yom Kippur is a karban, and therefore the shechita by one is not an avoda. By the par of the Kohen Gadol, his par is not an avoda to do the shechita, whereas by the paraduma, there is no such thing as avoda, and therefore the shechita is no different than anything else which requires Elazar and Chukah. Where it says, but then it should be certainly a kavu chomer. V'lav kol dekenu, it should be a kavu chomer. If by the karban you don't concern yourself that the shechita has to be done by a Kohen Gadol, Aaron and Chukah, so certainly then by the paraduma, which is not an avoda, it shouldn't have to be done by a Kohen, so Aaron and Chukah, similar dinim should be Elazar and Chukah. So just like the Kohen Gadol's par doesn't require the Kohen Gadol to go shechti, be shechti by a zar in regards to Yom Kippur, so too the paraduma, that should be the kavu chomer. Shmuel says, no, again, that's incorrect. Amar Shisha Breda Ravidi, Midi Davi Amaris Nagoyim. He says, no, it's not an avoda. The entire paraduma is a totally different ballgame. In fact, you compare it to Maros Nagoyim. A Kohen has to declare a nega. The biggest dermatologist in the world, the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, can't declare something to be a nega. It must be declared by a Kohen. So therefore, just like by Maros Nagoyim, the lav avoda, it's not an avoda. We don't say that this is an avoda to declare a nega, but it's something that requires kahuna. Ubaye kahuna. So too, by the paraduma, it's not an avoda, but it's something that requires kahuna, as opposed to a karban. Only the things that are avoda require kahuna, and shchita is not an avoda. So Rav's opinion makes perfectly good sense. Something like Maris Nagoyim, something like the paraduma, is going to be no good if it's not done by a kohen. And therefore, Elazar and Chukah works by the paraduma. Whereas, by the power of the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, only things that are in avoda require Aaron and Chukah. But something that's not in avoda, such as the shchita, would not require a Kohen to do it. The Kohen Gadol doesn't have to go and shecht it. So therefore, Rav Shita, paraduma, Zohar ruins the paraduma if a Zohar shechts it. That makes perfectly good sense. Whereas by the power of the Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur, if a Zohar were to shecht it, it would not ruin it. Okay, so we reconcile the Rav's opinion. What about Shmuel? Well, Shmuel, the Omar, paro psula, according to Shmuel, the power of the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, if it's shechted by a zar, it is in fact possible. So then, Maishno Paro, the Siv Aaron Chukah, must be the reason he is, because it's Aaron Chukah, and he holds, therefore, that even the Shechita is included in Aaron Chukah. So then, he should say by the Paraduma the same thing, Paranami, Hok Siv Elazar of the Chukah. So now we throw the same question that we asked on Rab before, but here it's stronger on Shmuel, because Shmuel is telling us that the power of the Kohen Gadol, which is not an Avoda, must be done by a Kohen. So certainly, the Paraduma, where it says, Elazar and Chukah should also have to be done by Kohen. Why does Shmuel say that only the power of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, if it's shechted by Zohar, is possible, but the paraduma, if it's shechted by Zohar, it's not possible? So the Gemara says, again, look at the words of the pasuk very carefully. Shiny hosom. It says in regards to the paraduma, it says, Bishochat osa lifanov. What does that mean? You shall shecht it in front of him. So shehei zar shochet ve'elazar roa. So he darshes it. It says, it doesn't say anywhere that Elazar was the one that shechted it. It says v'shachat osa lifanav. Someone else, a zar, can shecht the paraduma in front of Elazar, and therefore you can see that a zar by the paraduma is perfectly good. No, this is a very interesting way to darshen that pasuk shochet. Meaning over here that it's someone else, the Shechat Osa Lufanav. So what does Rav do with this pasuk? Would seem to say that Rav should also hold that the paraduma should be able to be shechted by Ezar. Seemingly, the pasuk says the Shechat Osa Ezar shechts it Lufanav in front of Elazar. What does Rav do? Rav? No. He says the purpose of that pasuk is the Shechat Osa Lufanav is not telling me another person shechts it. No, Elazar shechts it. But Shelo Yasiach Dai Tomimena, he has to have in mind Lufanov, it has to be constantly in front of him. It can't be a Hesach Hadas. If there's a Hesach Hadas, then it's ruined. And therefore, as Rashi says, La'olam elazar shachta, it means in this pasuk that elazar shechts it. And lefanav means shelo yasiach daito mishmirah. So he has to be focused on it to make sure that nothing happens to it. He doesn't lose sight of it. He's not losing watching it. So it should become tameh. It should become somehow a psul. And therefore, that's what it means. V'shachat oso lefanav, according to Rav. Nothing to do with another person shechting it, like Shmuel said. So now this turns the tables back on Shmuel. How does Shmuel know that he can't have a hesach hadas? Shmuel shelo yasiach daito minolei. How does Shmuel know this then? After all, Shmuel agrees with the din that he can't have a hesach hadas. Rav learns it out the shachad osol lefanav, but Shmuel had used that for something else. So how does Shmuel learn out no hesach hadas is allowed? So Shmuel learns it from the following: nafkalei mi v'soraf es hapara le'enav. Now, when Elazar has to go burn it, he has to be laying off. It has to be constantly in front of him. It can't have any sort of a hesach hadas. Oh, so Shmuel has a possible hesach hadas. Shmuel has a possible shadasol fanof to tell me that Elazar can shecht it. How come Rav, what does he do with this possible? Elazar is a par laying off. He already has a possible hesach hadas. So what would Rav say back to this? So Rav says you need chad b'shchita v'chad b'sreifa. Rav would tell us you need two psukim. One to tell us by the shchita you can't have a hesach hadas. That's v'shachad usul l'fanav. And he needs a separate pasuk. But so Rav is a parlay enough to tell me by the sreifa you can't have a hesach hadas u'tzricha. And you need both of these psukim to teach us this. Shmuel obviously doesn't hold it. You need both of them. And that would be the distinction over here between Rav and Shmuel. So Shmuel will just say, no, one pasuk is enough to tell me no hesach hadas. Whereas Rav says you need a separate pasuk by the shchita and a separate pasuk by the sreifa. Why is that? Utsricha. Because of Rechbana b'shchita. Because if you only wrote the pasuk by the shchita, v'shachad asolof enough to teach me no hesach hadas, I would have said by the shchita, mishum detchilas avodahi, I need to have no hesach hadas. That's the start. However, sreifa, it's already into the process already. Emelot tzricha. Maybe you don't need any more at that point in time. If you're not so careful at that point in time, nishkefelach. That's why it has to tell me the seraph is a parole enough to tell me no, that's incorrect. No, so just write it over there. Because of Rahman b'sreifa, just write the seraph is a parole enough, and I'll know by the shchita as well. I'll say no. Mishum da'ashdehu the miskashu para. What makes the paraduma ashes? It's the burning of the paraduma and making the aper paraduma, which you then put into the water, and now you have mechatas. So the last action, that certainly has to be something that can't have a hesach hadas. But you know what, taka, avo shchita, eim alo. Maybe I would say the shchita, it's not so gefährlich if you don't have a complete shmira, and if you had a little hesach hadas, it wouldn't be terrible. Oh, kamash alon tzricha. That's why Rav says you need both. And obviously, again, as I said, Shmuel holds, no, these two opinions are not necessary. One time telling me, the seraph sabar le'inav would be enough. And that's how Shmuel learns out hesach hadas, and therefore he has the pasuk, the shachad usulafanav, free to tell me that it doesn't require a kohen to go and sheft the paraduma. It can be somebody other than Elazar, because that person shefted in front of Elazar. Now the Gemara says, if you're telling me that the shchita and the sreifa, they can't have a hesach hadas, that implies that something else, if there was a hesach hadas, it wouldn't ruin it. Lemute mai, what aspect of the paraduma doesn't require this focused attention that Rav says, and the Shmuel agrees, has to be by the shchita and the sreifa? Lemute mai. Shmuel says, maybe you're going to tell me, ilema lemute. Now here on the next words, the Vilna Gaon says, we delete the words asifas para. He says that does require no hesach hadas, but the gears that we have includes it. So either way, you want to learn like the Gra, you can see this in Agos Agra over here, or you learn just like the gears that we have. So you either include or don't include that the din of hesach hadas doesn't apply, or like the Gra says, it does apply to Asifas Aifra, the gathering in of the ashes. But they all agree umilu mayim. Now the Gra has the gears of vikidush, others have the gears of likidush, the gathering in of the water for the kidush to put in the Aifra into that water. So that doesn't require an absolute shmira, and if you had a hesach hadas, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Is that what you want to tell me? It doesn't require hesach hadas, but we have a pasuk that says that that does require to have no hesach hadas. It says lemishmeres lemeini doksiv. It specifically tells me that you can't have a hesach hadas in regards to the mili mayim lekidush. Again, you could argue, like the Gra or not, that that doesn't apply to asifas efer para. So in any event, the Gra says, you're right, the Mila Mayim Lekidush certainly requires not to have Hesach Hadas. Ella, what doesn't require this absolute Shmira? Ella, Limute, Hashlochas Eitz, Erez, Veizo, Vushni, Solos. That which we said in yesterday's You have to add to it the Eitz Erez, the cedar wood, the Azov, the Hyssop, and the Shnitolas, the red bindle, the Lashon Zihoris. So those things, if you didn't have full kavana and intention in watching them, that wouldn't ruin the Parah Aduma. So that is what the Sukkim on the Shchita, the Sreifa, and the Mechatas, they all require specific no Hesech Hadas. But the placing, the throwing in of the Ashlochas Eitz Erez Ve'ezo Ushnisolas, knew if you had some what less than a perfect Shmira on that, that wouldn't ruin the Parah Aduma. Now again, it doesn't mean that you can have your mind on doing something else, but it means that if you were to do another avoda during this time, so that would be passing things by the Parah Aduma. So that wouldn't apply to the Hashlochas Eitz Erez Ve'ezo Ushnisolas. If you were doing something else at the same time, so even though you were concentrating on Eitz Erez Ve'ezo Ushnisolas, that wouldn't ruin it. Whereas all the other aspects of the Parah Aduma, for those that are doing the Mishnah Yomis, we happen to be doing Maseches Parah right now, and we've learned all these dinim that you're not allowed to have anything else, you're not allowed to do anything else while you're doing the different procedures of the Parah Aduma. So for the Hashlochas Eitz Erez Ve'ezo Ushnisolas, doing something else wouldn't necessarily ruin it. Okay. Mar continues and says, Itmar Shchitas Parah Bezor. This question of whether the Shchita by the Parah Aduma could be done by a Zohar, which we just said that Rav holds, is not allowed because of Elazar Chukah, whereas Shmuel holds that no, Elazar Chukah doesn't apply to it through the drushes that we just said. So this similar machlokis is seen by other Amoraim as well. Ravami Amar Ksheira. Ravami says that if the Parah Aduma is shechted by a Zohar, it is acceptable, which is exactly the Shita of Shmuel. Whereas Rav Yitzchok Napa Amar Psula. Rav Yitzchok Napa holds like Rav and says if the Parah Aduma is shechted by a Zohar, it is no good. Similarly, Ula Amar Ksheira, V'Amrei Psula. We don't know what Ula's opinion was. He either said that it was kosher or he said it was possible. We just don't know what his opinion was. Madigmore says, Mosiv Rav Yoshua Bar Abba L'Sayu L'Rav. Rav Yoshua Bar Abba is going to bring the following brisa as a proof to Rab, and of course it's going to be a Kasha and Shmuel. So the Brice is as follows. Ein li'elo hazos me'me'o she'en kisherim bi'isho kivi'ish. The actual sprinkle of the mechatas on the tome person is not allowed to be done by a woman. It has to be done by a man. That's based upon the psukim, as we'll see in a second. Then kisherim el bayom. And likewise, it must be done during the daytime. It can't be done at the nighttime. Now these psukim are as follows. It says, v'lokach ezov b'taval b'mayim Ish Tohar. So it uses the extra lashon here of Ish. That tells me a man, yes, but not a woman. And then it says, Vizo HaTohar Ala Tomei Vayom HaShlishi Uvayom HaShvi. That tells me that it has to be done during the daytime, and the Hazor of the Mechatas cannot be done at night. So if I just had those psukim alone, Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba brings this price down and says, I would only know that it can't be done by a woman, and it must be done by a man during the daytime. How do we know that the other activities, at least some of the other activities of the Parah Aduma, must also not be done by a woman and must also not be done at night? They have to be done during the daytime. Minayin l'rabos shchitasa, the shchita, the kabbalas doma, the collecting of the blood, v'azaz doma, and the spritzing of the blood towards the heichal. Again, you're outside the Beis HaMikdash on Har HaZeisim, and it's not a karban, but you have to do the spritzing of the blood towards the heichal. Usreifos and the burning of the Parah Aduma and the Ashlochas Eitz Erez the Ezo Ushnisolas, that all of these have to be done by a man and that all of these have to be done during the daytime. How do we know that all of this applies? Talmud Lomar Torah, because the pasuk tells us Zos Chukas HaTorah. So it tells us Torah. That means all of these things have the same chukim as do the sprinkling of the Mechatas and the fact that the sprinkling must be done by a man during the day. All of those dinim also apply to the rest of these avodos of the Parah Aduma. Again, technically it's not an avoda. I'm using the term avoda, but all the procedures that need to be done for the Parah Aduma. That's the word Torah. Zos Chukas HaTorah. Now, Yoho, I might have said, there are other activities, other procedures. Shani Marbe Af Asiras Eifara Umilu Mayim V'Kiddush. I might have thought that even the Asifas Eifara, the gathering in of the ashes of the Parah Aduma, as well as the putting it into the water, what's called the Milah Mayim V'Kiddush, the gathering of the water and putting the afer of the Parah Aduma into the water, that's called the Kiddush. I would think that all of these also have to be done by a man and during the daytime. Talmud Lomar, it says Zos. We have the pasuk Zos Chukas HaTorah. So HaTorah is coming to be marred by certain things, whereas Zos comes to tell us this and not those. So it comes to exclude the Asifa Seifara, Milamayim, the Kiddush from having the requirement of a man during the daytime. So we have one pasuk that's a ribui and one pasuk that's a miut. And that's what the Gemara says. Why are you including in the din of Torah all of those things that we just mentioned? The shchita, the kapolas dam, the avos dam, the srifosov, ashlochas etzeres, ezov, shiso las. You're including them in man during the day. However, ulahotzi eselu, because of the word zos, you're coming to exclude the asifas efora umilu mayim v'kiddush. Why did you tell me one to be marbet and one to be mamet? Sumar says, Acha shiriba kosuv umiyet. Since we have one pasuk telling me to be marbet, to include these things through the word Torah, and one pasuk telling me to be mayim because the word zos, so therefore, amris hare anu lemedim kula mehazos meimela. So we learn it out all from the din of who is allowed to do the hazos meimela. And that is, mo hazos meimela enuk sherim biisha. Kiddush, as we pointed out from the pasuk, where it says "V'lokach ezov etovah b'mayim ish tohar," tells me the man has to do that. So already I know that a man yes and a woman no. So I'm already being exclusive in terms of who can do the hazos mei parad duma. So that tells me hazos mei meno ena kasher b'isha kiddush ben kasher mel b'yom. And the second part of the pasuk where it said "V'izoh Torah al tamei b'yom hashlishi uv'yom hashli," tells me it must be done during the daytime. So too, the word Torah is coming to be marbe after. All these other procedures to be included as well in only a man and only during the day. Why is that? Since they're not allowed to be done by a woman based upon the pasuk, and we already have restrictions on those activities, therefore I'll be marbe all of these other activities. But I'll exclude from this restriction, umotzi ani, I will allow a woman or to be done at nighttime, basifa seifara umilumayim v'kiddush, because hoel, for those, uksherin b'isho kivish, there a woman is allowed to do it, and ksherin namri b'yom uvalayla, can be done not only during the daytime, but can even be done at night. So therefore, we have one word to be mar, but one word to be mimayit, so we'll do it this way. And the Gemara says, obviously, the two go together. Whatever must be done by a man must also be done during the daytime and can't be done at nighttime. So since we have the following psukim to teach me, where it says that it must be done by a man, lokach ezov v'tava b'mayim ish tahar. So that tells me that all of these activities must be done by a man. Once they must be done by a man, it's mistama, they also must be done during the daytime, and that's what we want to be marber from Torah, to include all of those other activities, as opposed to the asifa seifara, umilu mayim, and kiddush. There is no requirement there that it must be done by a man, so therefore mistama, there's no requirement that it should be done at night. Therefore, this is a raya to Rav, because the implication is, if it can't be done by a woman, it must be done by a man. Mistama, it has to be a man that is like Elazar, and it has to be done by a man who is a non-zar. Where it says, really? Why, my tiyufta? Why is this a tiyufta and shmul? Why are you making the connection that if it must be done by a man, it must be done by a kohen? Ilemo midi psulim b'isho, psulim nami b'zar. If you're arguing, like I just said, that the fact that a woman can't do the shlita, so therefore a woman can't do the shlita, so too a zar can't do the shlita, why is that? Hazos memeah tochiach. There you can have the sprinkling of the paraduma. It can't be done by a woman, but it can be done by a czar. Hazos memeah tochiach. Hash psulim leisha. Nevertheless, uksherim bazar. So just like the mei hazah, the sprinkling of the paraduma on the tamei person can be done by a non kohen. So too the shchita can be done by a non kohen. Just both of them can't be done by a woman. So therefore, that's not a tiyuv don shmua. So I'm Abai, no, Hainu Tiyufta, no. This was the proof to Rav, and here is the Kasha on Shmuel. Isha, why is a woman, Mai Taima, not allowed to go do the Shlita of a Paraduma? Because it says, Elazar v'lo Isha. It says, Elazar b'davka has to do it, and not a woman. Elazar has to be a Kohen. And therefore, Zor Nami, Elazar v'lo Zor. So too, here's the proof to Rav and the Kasha and Shmuel. It's not that it just can't be a woman. It can't be somebody that's not like Elazar. And Elazar was a Kohen. So therefore, not only can a woman not do it because a woman's not a Kohen, but even a non-Kohen can't do it. And that's the Raya to Rav and the Kasha on Shmuel. Now, since we started discussing some of the dinim here of Paraduma, we're now going to have a long statement from Ula going through the entire Pasuk at the beginning of Chukas, which deals with the Paraduma. This is what we read on Parshas Para. We read this entire section and more on Parshas Para. And of course, it's the beginning of Parshas Chukas. And Ula is now going to darshan many of these psukim. So, Amar Ula. Ula tells us, Kola Parsha Kula, the entire Parsha, the Paraduma, there are some aspects of it that are Mashma Motzi Miyad Mashma, and there are some aspects of it that are Umashma Mimela. What does this mean? So Rashi explains that Mashma Motzi Miyad Mashma means Keshetidakdek Ba. If you look into these series of psukim, there isn't one underlying common denominator that tells me the entire paraduma has to be done in the same way. But there are different sections, and each section has its own rules to it. There isn't one simple understanding across the board. And therefore, that the flow of the psukim, so in din number one, it's a certain way, and then din number two, the flow of the psukim says, motzi michlal mashma mikro shelofonav. The wording in din number two removes it from the dinim of din number one and gives it a brand new din. And therefore, mashma posel zeh hirshir zeh, or mashma hirshir zeh, posel zeh. And you flip around. So din one, it was good by one and bad by two. And then two flips it around. It's good by two and bad by one. So that's called mashma motzi miyad mashma. That one mashma, one concept from a pasuk, removes the previous concept and changes the din around. And then you have yesh bo mikros, Rashi continues, mashmo shemiskaimim mimelo mashmioso. That the second idea or procedure is exactly the same as the first procedure. That's called mashma mimela. You continue with the same set of circumstances. Sha mashma omed bimkomo. It doesn't change it around. Veina motzi michal chaveiro. Ulefi sidurin yesh l'cha l'hovin mahua motzi michal chaveiro o mi mashma mimela. And therefore, sometimes Ula says the next series in the psukim is going to change the din from the first one, and sometimes it's going to keep it the same. And Ula is going to tell us which ones it's mashma motzi miyad mashma, that it changes it around, and which ones are mashma mimela, which ones it keeps it in the same dinim. Again, it sounds a lot more complicated than it really is. You basically have the division of the paraduma up into various component sections, and does the next din follow the preceding din? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And Ula is going to darshan for us how you know what is what. So it starts off and it says, Unisatem oso el Elazar HaKohen. You have to give the paraduma to Elazar HaKohen. So that means, oso li Elazar v'lo l'doros l'Elazar. It's only this one, Unisatem oso, this one that we're talking about, the first paraduma that was made in the Midbar, so that one has to be done by Elazar HaKohen, but for future generations, v'lo l'doros l'Elazar HaKohen. The future generations don't have to be given to a Kohen who is the Skan Kohen Gadol, but it can give it to somebody else. So who is that somebody else? So we have a machlokis over here. Iko diamre le doros b'kohen gadol. That while the first one could have been done by the vice kohen gadol, the skan kohen gadol, Elazar, Aaron was the kohen gadol, Elazar was the skan kohen gadol at that time. So the first paraduma had to be done through Elazar, but for future generations, it had to actually go back to the kohen gadol. And that's one opinion. Iko diamre le doros, for future generations making a paraduma, it had to be done by kohen gadol. Whereas others said, no, for future generations, because the Amri Ladoros, it could even be done by a Kohen Hedyot. So that's the first drasha that we have. Gemara says, Bishlom Alman the Amri Ladoros, that for future generations, the Kohen Hedyot, that it can be done by a Kohen Hedyot, Shapir. Because the pasuk says, this one has to be done by a Elazar, but it doesn't say for the future generations who it has to be done by. So what's your having to think that it must be done by the Kohen Gadol? It makes very good sense to say that it can be done even by a Kohen Hedyot. So Shapir, that works out very fine. But according to the opinion, it says Elaman the Omer Ladoros Bedafka Bekohen Gadol. So Minole, where do they see this from the pasuk? This one has to be done by Elazar, but why does that imply that the future ones have to be done by Kohen Gadol? Gemara says no, because you have the word Chukah. So Gomar Chukah, which it says here by this one, and Chukah Miyom Kippurim, and by Yom Kippurim, we know the entire days of Oda has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. So this Xerah Shav Chukah Chukah tells us that while the first paraduma could be done by Elazar, the vice Kohen Gadol, the Skan Kohen Gadol, all the future ones have to be done just like by Yom Kippur has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. So too, all the paradumas in the future have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Okay. Obviously, the other opinion would say that there is no Xer Shava of Chukah Chukah over here. Ula continues to dash in the Psukim. It says, Votzi Yosa, you shall take it out. What does that mean? Shalo Yotzi Acherisima. Only one Paraduma can be taken out at a time. Votzi Yosa, it shall be taken out, and not another animal with it. Kiddush not, like we learned in the Mishnayis in Parah, where it tells us that lo haisa Parah rotsa lotzeis, if the paraduma that you're taking out to go to the harizesim to go do the process of the paraduma on it, to shecht it and burn it, etc., and the para says, hey, nothing doing, I ain't going, I know what's happening, I'm not going, so then you're not allowed to ein motzini moshchora, you're not allowed to have another cow go with it. No, misery loves company, another cow will go with it. So then the paraduma say, okay, I'll go too, I'll go with the other cows, I'll go with the flow. So you're not allowed to go bring another cow, a black cow out there with it, because people are going to say, hey, they didn't really shaft the red cow, they shafted the black cow. So there shouldn't be a havamina for people to say that it wasn't really a paraduma that was shafted and burned, but it was the black cow that was shafted and burned. So therefore, potzio sa means you're not allowed to go take another cow out with it. That's why a black cow you can't take out with it. But maybe take out a second paraduma. This way, manashot, people say they burned one of the two paradumas. So they motzini mo'aduma, but you're not even allowed to take out another red cow with it. Why? So people shouldn't mistakenly think that they shechted both of them, because you're only allowed to have one paraduma shechted at a time and not two. And therefore, if you shechted the second one, it's actually doing another avoda during that avoda. So you're not allowed to do anything else during the shechita. So therefore, if you shechted another paraduma, then it would ruin the first paraduma. So therefore, that's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma in this Mishnah in Parah. Rebbe disagrees. Rebbe Omer, lo min hashem uzeh. That's not the reasoning. He agrees with the din. He says, that's not the reasoning. He says, the reasoning is this pasuk, potzi osa, ela mishum shenemar osa, which means levado. You have to take it out itself. It's not a gzeiro here that people are going to make a mistake. He says, it's based upon this pasuk, potzi osa. That's Ula's derivation over here, is based upon Rebbe. No, what does the Tanna Kamma do? He has a whole gzeira over here that people are going to say it's a black cow that they shechted. People are going to say that it's two red cows that they shechted. No, so that's his svara. But what about the pasuk votzi osa? What does the Tanna Kamma do with that? The Tanna Kamma hoksiv osa. You're not allowed to go votzi osa and nothing else. So Mar says, who's the Tanna Kamma? Man Tanna Kamma. You know what the Tanna Kamma is? Who argues with Rebbe over here? Rebbe Shimon here. And Rebbe Shimon is famous throughout Shas, the Dorish Taima Dekra. Rebbe Shimon says that you have to darshan out why the Torah said certain things. And if you can figure out the reason, and Rashi gives us the classical example, and you see there's two lines on the bottom in Rashi, the Dorish Taima Dekra. So we have the famous story of Bava Metzia. An Almana borrowed money from someone, and she gave her pajamas to him as a mashkon. So the almana is a rich almana. So we're dealing over here with an ashira. So you're allowed to go take her pajamas because you're not going to go back and give her pajamas every night. She has 20 pairs of pajamas, and it's not going to look suspicious that every night you're going over to her house and you give her pajamas. So it's going to look suspicious if you have to do that. But since she's an ashira, you're not going to have to do it because she has plenty of other pajamas. So therefore, a rich woman, you're allowed to go and take her pajamas as collateral. Because darshin on time of the crowd. The reason why the Torah says don't go and do that is because it's going to look suspicious that if she's a poor woman, she only has one pair of pajamas, you're going to take the pajamas as the mashkon for the daytime, fine, she doesn't need it. Then you have to return the mashkon at night, and you're going to take her daytime clothing, and you come back in the morning, and you give her back her daytime clothing, and you take back the pajamas. That's going to cast aspersions on this woman's honor. And therefore, for a poor person, you don't do this. But for a rich almana, you're allowed to. So Rabbi Shimon is darish time of the crowd. Darish time of the crowd. Therefore, over here too, in the situation where there's a chashash, the people are going to make the mistake and say that they shechted the black one or they shechted the two red ones, so that's darshin on time of the kra. And that's why Votzi Osa tells us that you can't do this. So what's the nafkamina? Might be Nayu. What's the nafkamina between Rabbi Shimon and Rebbe? So Yikra Nayu, the difference between them is as follows. And we turn to Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, the Apik Chamor Bahadar. This red cow doesn't want to go out. So if you bring a black cow, then you have to be concerned that people can say, yeah, they shechted the black cow and not the red cow. But if they bring a donkey, the apik chamor b'hadar, so nobody's going to think, oh, yeah, they didn't really burn the paraduma, they burned the donkey. A donkey's a treif animal. Everybody knows the donkey has nothing to do with the paraduma. By the black animal, or by two paradumas, they could have a chashash. But by a donkey, there would be no chashash. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon would allow you to go bring a donkey out with the paraduma, because he says the pasuk votzi osa doesn't have anything to do with the donkey. It's only that you shouldn't bring out a red second cow or a black second cow, because that's going to be the chashash. But by a donkey, there's no chashash. Whereas Rebbe says, votzi osa, only it, nothing else, not even a donkey, because there's nothing to do with Dorish time of the crow. Ula continues and he says, Vishochad osa, shelo yishchot acheres imo. You now go shecht a second one at the same time. Tosfos Yerushalmi says you're not allowed to shach them both at the same time using Aino Imo Mamish, means literally with it, Besak and Arucha, a long knife. And shach both of them at the same time. Because if you're dealing with the Achrei that you bring out the second one, so in the Tosfos Yerushalmi is explained by the Masoros HaShas, Oschot, he says, Hesachadas Miyika, then that certainly would be a Hesachadas, and that would be no good. So it's talking about doing it simultaneously when there is no Hesachadas. So that's what Vishacharasov means, Shalom Yishchor Eschere Zima. And when it says Vishacharasov Lefanov, so that means, according to Rav, as we explained previously, Rav, Shalom Yasir Daito Mimeta, that you shouldn't have any Hesachadas. That's what Rav needed that pasuk for. And Shmuel Hadarshin, that Torah, Shezor Shochet, Ve'lozer Roa, that even a non Kohen could go and shacht it at that point, as long as it's in front of Ve'lozer, that's perfectly good. Now, we're in the middle of this long drasha by Ula. We're not going to be able to finish it today unless we go a lot longer. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up the continuation of Ula's drashas of the Psukim in Parashas Parah, and Mir Seshem tomorrow's shir. With this, we conclude today's shir.